हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 5, Adhikarana 1, defining the prakat and aprakat pastimes. Okay. So continuing from Prabhupada's purport. What was the point being made? Okay. O Lord, you who are approached by being heard about, seen, and directly served, enter and remain in the lotus of your devotees' hearts, infused with bhakti yoga. Much praised Lord, by your mercy you bestow to them spiritual bodies appropriate to the mood they cultivate during sadhana. So this is all part of the mantra of Upasana Maya. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord. And thus the devotee comes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Surup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form of the pure devotee desires, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or unauthentic worshiper to be exploited. Maybe because he's an individual, he's a person. So he only manifests in as much as, the devotee is actually that has that sincerity. You know, he's not going to reciprocate otherwise. Because, see, as what's happening here, Krishna works on rules, because what he does means it's his desire. His desire is the rules, right? So you can say in that way, Krishna works on the rules. So the devotee follows those rules, but it's about their spontaneous attraction to Krishna that's important, right? So this aspect that the vaidhi and the rag, they go together, because the vaidhi is simply the rules and regulations of scriptures that just created a favorable environment for bhakti, right? It means it either keeps you on the path or keeps you from falling off the path, right? That's what vaidhi's for. But when you do that because you're supposed to, you know, you're using the rule, it's the rule to do like that, you know, the piety or these kind, that's called vaidhi bhakti. Rag bhakti means you're simply attracted to the Lord, and so therefore you just follow the path of service to the Lord. But because you're following the Lord's desire is manifest to us as the environment and the mechanics of how the environment works, or in other words, the rules. So therefore, that's secondary to the primary, which is devotion to Krishna. Right? Just like Krishna, then his desire is the primary aspect, right? And then the kriya and jnana serve as assisting. So there's no conflict between them. There's no conflict between the desire and mood and the mechanics and knowledge, right? The material platform, there's always a problem here, because it's the place of, what do you call it? Not diversity.
Duality,
yes. So it's the place of duality. So there's always going to be a problem between them, right? Always. But when it's connected to Krishna, there's no problem at all, because it's all his energies, it's Satchitananda. He is Satchitananda, so there's no problem. It's all perfectly harmonized with him as the center. Right? So in the same way as you're fulfilling Krishna's desire, that's the spontaneous. So therefore the rules and regulations for the Kriya and Dhyana are going to naturally support that. They're supporting it in all the pastimes. Balaram supports Krishna in his pastimes. You know what I'm saying? So it's completely bogus, this idea that, oh, the Vaidhi is different. We don't. When it says you don't care for the rules, means it doesn't care means I'm not doing it because of the rule. I'm doing it because that's the taste that I have. I want to do that way. But that taste is Krishna, to please Krishna. So you follow that path that will please Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes?
Can we say that the Vaidhi for the sadhakas create the framework, and then what happens within that framework, that depends on their relationship, whether according to the rules or spontaneous.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then for the siddhas, the framework is their relationship itself. They don't yeah. they don't need the framework of Vaidhi, but it looks exactly the same.
Yes. Means, in other words, for us it's two different things.
Right.
Because we're cultivating one by cultivating the other. We're trying to do, because for us, we'd just be, you know, grumbling around in the garbage somewhere, you know, and snarling at everybody. Right? But, you know, by hearing from the Vedas, we hear about self-realization and elevating the soul. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but on the spiritual world, as we said, everything's perfectly harmonized. The primary and secondary, you don't see the difference. Mm. They're one thing, because the secondary is they're going to be the expression of their primary. The primary will be expressed, and it's expressed through the second. So it's non-different. You don't make the distinction. You don't say, you just think a mother just showed us devotion. And so she cooks for Krishna, she bathes Krishna, she feeds Krishna, she, you know, takes care of Krishna. Right? You don't think of it, well, she has her devotion to Krishna, but as a mother, therefore she has her obligations to do these things for Krishna. They're non-different. But in the material world, in the beginning, there's going to be a difference. You know, it's just the way it is, because that's what we do. We ritualize, we do all these things. So the rituals are the secondary, and that's for the primary. Just like we're doing the Abhishek to express our devotion to Krishna. We want to please Krishna, so we're doing an Abhishek. You understand? You know, but otherwise, no, it's a time, it's Janmasa, we have to do an Abhishek because it's pleasing to Krishna. That'll be the Vaidhi aspect. Right? We want to please Krishna. It's his birthday. We can offer an Abhishek. That's what they, you know, we want to please Krishna. We don't know how to please Krishna. The Acharyas say, on Janmasa, we offer an Abhishek. So we're offering an Abhishek. So the Abhishek is supportive of trying to please Krishna. So as you said, whichever way you look at it, it will look the same. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the one is, it's the rules. So because of the rules, then sometimes we get caught up in the rules. And so we say, no, no, but you have to do all these things like this. No, but we have so many other programs on that and this and that. And this got late. And so now we have to make this go very quickly. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say you have 20 liters of milk.
Yeah.
Yeah? You know, we're talking about a Mayapur Abhishek. You know, and you have those big conch shells. So, you know, a few conch shells and you move from the milk onto the next one.
Yeah.
Right? So it goes very naturally. Let's say we have 500 liters of milk. Right? So now what do you start doing? You do some of them like that, but then you just start to hold the conch shell and just start pouring it in. So you don't, you know, individually do, and then they take, and then they do, and then they... and then finally two drops go on his head because you poured it everywhere else, because you have to worship the feet, you have to do this, you have to do that. Yeah. And then there's the next conch shell with the next guy. Right? So you just bring it in, you just start pouring. So then, you know, maybe in half an hour or 20 minutes, you go through 500 liters. Right? Does that make sense? But if it's Vaidhi, you'd never do that. Rules, you'd never do that. Because no, it's got to be in the conch and this and that, and so it'd take you 5 hours. Is that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that... The when we had that one, I think he was maybe head pujari or something at one of the big temples in South India. And he sat through the Nisringa Abhishek. and you know the devotee who brought him. Then he asked, so what do you think of the Abhishek? And his point was, he's never seen anything like that. You know, and he's the head pujari of a major temple. I mean, like the second temple, the Shri's number two temple. So it's not like, you know, he's not some small place he's never seen. They do big stuff. He says he's never seen like that. And then, you know, they ask, you know, do you do things like that? And he says, never. We can't do that. You know, because everything has to be controlled, regulated. The guy this, he brings the conch, he gives a hand to him, he does, you know, the mantra, pours it on the deity, and then next conch, like this and that. So they'll use a little conch, they'll do little things, and this like that. And it's done all in devotion, it works with the mantras, it works, so for them it works perfectly. But the thing where you look at Nrisingadev's altar and the steps, there's waterfalls going down the steps. He says, you never see that. They can't do that. Although I have heard, though, that he's kind of introduced a little bit of that, you know, after seeing that he tries to do, and everybody, wow, that's impressive, and so it's catching on. But, you know, it's just because the mood, and because they like grandeur, but they were doing grandeur by ritual, but this is grandeur by volume, you know, that they can do. So, by switching it into, you know, from one to the other, for us it's happening because that's just what you need to do. Otherwise, you know, is everybody going to sit there till midnight for Nrisingha's Abhishek? No, you know. As it is, it used to be, it'd take an hour and a half. Now I think it's 2.5 or 3. It's already way longer than, you know. So that makes sense. You know, with shorter things, people last. Longer, they don't. Like, you know, we used to do hour and a half yajnas for the Mahayajna. Nobody makes it. So we cut it down to an hour. You know, we just took, instead of doing everything in one, we just took it up and broke it up. And so we made it into various ones in that way. You know, it gets the variety and also, you know, so it's nice, people can see. So I've generally seen, if you're doing, and that's people who want to come there. If you're doing a public thing, you know, like you do 45 minutes. That's all maximum people can handle. 20 is perfect, but 45 they can handle. You know, so therefore you have to consider that. And so then you adjust. You're not breaking rules. You're just, you know, how you say? Consolidating. It's like folding space to get somewhere, right? Otherwise, how are you going to get to Doom without folding the space, right? No?
To do what?
If you want to get, you want to go from this planet to that planet like that, and that'll take you, you know, 10,000 years. So you fold the space, and then you're just on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
So you fold the rules into each other. And then just, you know, you just, it goes through nicely. And for the audience, it just goes very smoothly.
Yeah.
So that's why you also see is that there's festival Brahmins and there's the daily Brahmins. Because the daily do the same thing every day, and that's their glory. You know, it's just like you see, there's pujaris that they're doing Mangalarti now that 30 years ago they were doing that same Mangalarti. Yeah. You know, it's not that, you know, the once a week they do it. No, every day, day in, day out, 30 years. You know, that's their glory. You know, that's Archon City. You know, they go back to Godhead from that. But the festival Brahmins, they know all that, they do all that. But at the same time, they can consider the festival and the situation, and they can adjust it. So something that, you know, you have to, you need more time, they can draw it out. But generally, you never have that problem. It's always things are late, so you know how to take something that should take 2 hours and make it into an hour and a half or an hour. Because you know what's essential, so the other things start folding back into the essential.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like I think it is, Adamas was explaining that you have the 16 items. You know, of the 16, the 10 remain. Of the 10, 5 remain. Of the 5, 2 remain. And of the two, then 1 is main, bhakti. Right? So if you have nothing else in Gandapushpa, you offer that, and then, you know, that's done instead of all 16. You know, you have more time like that, you do all 16 with all the little sub-ones in between and the claws and this and all the things. You know, it take you, you know, 20 minutes to show. But otherwise, you can just do Gandapushpa, it's done. You know, 3 seconds. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
That kind of thing is that it's within, it's not based on the rules not to drive. Here it's that what's going to work nicely for the festival, for the devotees, so that they'll see it'll look very nice. That's why I always see is if it was up to the people who come up for a bathing, they would crowd around the altar and nobody would see. Literally. If this is the deities, you know, you see they're standing up to here, you have to move them back, but there's people sitting over there. So they have to stand here. But no, they'll come around here. You have to tell them. They have no idea. It's all about them. They're on the stage, it's about them. They would crowd right around. Might leave this much gap. You know, same in the Shingas. Everybody comes in, you know, they start throwing things, they all walk in. They can see it from the side where they are, but it's like they're so amazed, they walk actually right into the middle and look. You ever notice? They just stand there. They just, wow, this is so cool. What about everybody behind you? They have no idea, because they're just so absorbed that they forget. It's, you know, it's just the simpleness. So you have to, you know, shut. Oh, okay, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's the whole thing, is you have to consider the whole thing. It's for a group thing, so what's going to work for everybody? Well, the puja, it's just you and the deity, and you're doing that, and you don't have to worry. No one's going to get in the way, no one's going to get, no one's, there's nothing going to get. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to see is that, and then within that you're doing because it pleases the Lord, and then you're using the rituals. In the beginning you're using all, you're producing shalagram and all the things, you're looking at the paper, doing all the different things, getting that, looking back at the paper, you know, like that. But then with time, then you know the rules, and then with time, then you can think about the deity and the devotion to the deity, and then these rules, these are just, how you say, just the supportive items to which you express the devotion. So, like you said, the beginning, the middle, the end, it all looks the same. Though at the same time, the end may have some adjustments to what's the situation and all that, that the beginning you can't do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, in other words, you're feeding the baby, you don't put the baby down. But because the baby's favorite cow with his favorite milk is on the fire and boiling over, and he really likes that milk, therefore, for his pleasure, she's put the baby down and gone and adjusted the milk. You know, so therefore, that's the point of spontaneity. It's about pleasing Krishna. Because she can feed him after. She can feed him all day, but this milk's on the fire now, and if it boils over and it's finished, then later in the day he won't get it. So that's the point of spontaneity. It's about what right now in the situation, in other words, in the situation that we're in the facilities and relationships, what's there, what's going on, what's rolling in the pastimes, what would you do to please Krishna? Right? Situation, what's there, relationships, the moods, to please Krishna. So sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. And they're just seeing where is the rasa moving. So they see that. So it's not about the rules, it's about pleasing Krishna. But for us, we don't know how to please Krishna, so without following the rules, we wouldn't do anything to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why we follow the acharyas and that. So vaidhi means the rules are put in place so that you know you have to follow the rules. But within that, there's always going to be some element of spontaneity. Right? Someone likes to do the mangalartik. Maybe when they get there, then, you know, all the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3. You know, that means you get into that. But the point is that it's they like to be there and do that for Krishna. So there is that touch of spontaneity, right? Because it's always, bhakti means it's going to have that spontaneous element. So even in Vaikuntha, they like to be there for darshan, they like to be there during the programs and do their services. But it's about the opulence and it's the rules and like that. They like that flavor of rules. That's the point, the sandhini situation. It is what's there, but it is also the flavor to use the situation in majesty or use the situation in sweetness or a mix. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Braj, then the spontaneity, the rules don't matter, but it's from their services. What Mother Jashoda does for Krishna, that's what's documented in the Vedic literature, is how a mother takes care of a child. You know?
Yeah.
So it's there. So that's the point, is Krishna's desire is the rules. But it's not about the rules, it's about his desire. It's just that there's mechanics for fulfilling a desire. Right? A particular situation, you do a particular thing. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like someone goes to the kitchen and, you know, it's time to peel potatoes, they pick up a brick and start rubbing the brick on the potato. You say, no. You use this peeler. Or there's no peeler, you use a knife. They pick up the big monster knife. No, pick up the small knife. So you can say, oh, that's all rules and regulations, but that's what makes it work nicely. So you want to please Krishna, you do the things that are going to work nicely to please Krishna. If you have them, if you don't have them, you use whatever you have. You know, there's no peeler, there's no knife. Okay, then we're going to do something with whole potatoes. So we're going to take it, we're going to scrub them nicely and leave the skin on. Right? And we're going to boil the potatoes and we're going to make an aloo dum, because that's one of the few preps that you can use whole potatoes.
So can we say, Maharaj?
Unless you're making a, what is it, Hyderabadi biryani, then you could probably do it also. Yes?
Can we say that Gyana Kriya and Icha always exist, but
always,
according to the realm, it's from the perspective of Gyana and Kriya, they see Icha, or we see, like you explained, we see Gyana and Kriya from the perspective of Icha.
Mm-hmm.
So that defines actually, you know, the mood of service.
Mm, yes, but you can play the majesty and the sweetness. It's fulfilling Krishna's desire, so you do the technical points. In other words, there has to be a situation. There has to be, that situation and then knowledge of that situation. There has to be application of that knowledge with the proper attitude and the proper skills. And there has to be the proper result.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of where you are. So each one of them has all three.
Yeah.
Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Sambandha has within it Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, because it's the field. So what is, okay, what are all the elements of the field? Okay, what could they can do? What's their relationship? What's the goal you can get from each one? Then you know the field. But you're not doing anything, right? The Abhideya will be, okay, I'm going to do this activity, but I need to arrange these things first, the field, so I can do the activity. And then I'm doing the activity, that's the Abhideya. Arranging the field, that's the, even though there's action, it's still the Sambandha part of it. Right? Until I get out all the vegetables and all the cutting boards and this and the pots and pans, I can't start cooking. That's the Sambandha part of the Abhideya of cooking.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to start cook and I'm starting to get the results, and so then I have my preparation. Right? That's the Prayojana of that. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then in the Prayojana, it's about pleasing Krishna, so therefore there's going to be that field in which the activities is there, and then the actual Krishna's pleasure. Because that I have an object to offer to Krishna, that's not Krishna's pleasure yet. I offer it with devotion, it becomes pleasurable to Krishna. Otherwise, it's mechanics that he does, that as Paramatma, he controls the mechanics of the cosmos. You know? So,
yeah.
Because
what I just realized that what the Apasampradayas do, they destroy the field completely.
Mm-hmm.
They say, because field is are the rules and regulations, that's the field.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
whatever the whimsical is in the mind.
Right.
They distort the Abhideya,
mm-hmm.
and they project their own ideas of prayojana,
mm-hmm.
putting themselves in the center, like,
yes.
I'm the Vishari.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happens. Yeah, this is...
But you see, is that since the world is meant for upliftment back to bhakti, that means anything other than pure bhakti or in pursuance of is technically all Upasampradaya. Just the Upasampradayas claim that they're worshipping the Lord, while the others don't. You see, the modern political, social, economic is doing the same thing. Right? It means that's always the fight. You know, the conservatives say the field has rules. The liberals say no, there's no rules. You made those up. It's whatever we feel like.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. So the one sees that, but there's no individuality. The other is individuality, but there's no commonality. Though the liberals claim that we're the ones that are accommodating, but they're not accommodating at all, because if you don't fit into their idea, they don't accept you. I mean, cancel culture is that. You know? And they saying, oh, the conservatives, you know, if you're not exactly the way they want, then they don't accept you. It's the same principle. They're doing the same thing. But at least the one, they do have a group that they do live together, do things together. Well, the others, do they eat lunch together? Do they do anything together? You know what I'm saying? Do the big liberals hang out and all that, you know?
Maybe for the picture.
Yeah, but I'm saying other than that, you know, did Lenin and Stalin, all those guys hang out and lunch together and the kids are playing together and doing all... No. No. They don't do any of that. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, only for the picture.
This is it's really hilarious. But Lenin, Stalin, and Trotsky—they were the three heads of the. Trotsky was like in the back of everybody. Nobody knew him, but he actually executed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Trotsky lived in America.
Really?
For a while.
Oh, okay.
Stalin, of course, he's from Georgia.
Okay.
He was a gangster from that side. And Lenin always hang out in Europe. So basically, three guys conceived of Russian revolution outside of Russia and manipulated all the masses.
Right, right.
From abroad. So this is like really insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they came, and of course, like you say, they have disagreement. And the Stalin, because he had that background...
Right, right.
He couldn't kill Lenin because he was too big to do that. Yeah. I mean, Lenin was like a symbol, like Gandhi, you know, all the notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because if you have a picture, you always see Lenin on it. You don't see anybody else. You don't see the Georgian wall.
Yeah. So then Trotsky ran away into to Mexico. He killed him eventually.
Yeah.
And then he got this strong. And he was, you know, the paranoid number one ruler of the empire.
Yeah, and so you don't do anything together if it's formal. That's the thing, is that those who have rules, because there is common rules, you know how to behave so everyone can deal, and you can actually, you know, you can be comfortable and relax and be good. But the other one, because it's made up rules, I mean, it's the other one, of course, you can say conservative, where does it come from? That's another thing. But the point is at least everybody accepts. The other ones is the talk of accepting these rules, right? But the problem is in accepting these rules, then they can change at any moment. So what was politically correct 6 months ago, today is not.
Yeah.
So therefore, depending upon how quickly you're moving through it, you can't have a close relationship with anybody, because even in your own mind is constantly changing. So if they say anything that you don't like, they're out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like in a village, somebody does something stupid, everyone just kind of doesn't interact with them, but they're still there. They don't bother them. They don't destroy them. But in the modern, this cancel culture, they have to destroy him. You know? And somehow or another, they're the nice guys? So that's the whole thing, is that all it is you have materialism, and you intensify, you bring it down to anamoy, so it's more about the individuals, than it's more a can of worms. The other one, at least there's some little regulation that everybody has their place and who does what and everything, and all that. It's not that there's not problem in both, because the only way to solve that, then we see, is the Pancharatra. What it says is that you have Sankarshan and Sambandha, you call it Parjumna is Abhideya, and Aniruddha is Prayojana, right? And so the mechanics of what's Sambandha, what's Abhideya, and what's Prayojana, those are all there in those three. But when you combine them centered around the Lord, that's Vasudeva. Then Sambandha has this perfection. All relationships are connected to Krishna. All action is connected to Krishna. All results are connected to Krishna for his pleasure. So it becomes a perfect system.
Yeah.
So like what you mentioned before, people just replace Vasudeva with themselves. And so therefore now, if the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana is a relationship to them, then it's good. And if it's not, then it's bad. And so where are you going to get two people that are the same? You know, Prabhupada even gives the point is identical twins are different, have a different personality.
Yeah.
You know, so where are you going? And that's as close as you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, so then where are you going to get everybody the same? So only when it's centered around Krishna can it actually work. So that's why you see, is if, let's say, even you have a material organization, if they have some ethos that everybody's focused on and everybody's committed to, then that can be, being that Vasudeva principle, it kind of works. But at some point, because of the modes of nature and all that, and just, you know, the way it is, especially Kali Yuga, something's going to change, and it'll go for a while, and then after a while, it's not. You know what I'm saying? It just goes, that's just the way it works in the material platform. So it has to be centered around Vasudeva. Then they have the perfection, because it means all the qualities are manifest in Vasudeva, because all the aspects of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana are manifest, and so therefore it's in this perfect balance. But it's not that Sankarshan Prajumna Aniruddha don't have all the qualities. It's just that they have each the two prominent qualities that stands out, and the other ones are supporting that.
Yeah.
So you just see that, you know, that what is it? Jnana and Bala for Sankarshan, Aishwarya and Virya for Prajumna, and Shakti and Tejas for Aniruddha. You know, so strength of body, you know, in Sambandha, strength of intelligence, and in Abhideya, strength of mind. You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so then. Huh. Yeah.
Is it what we call Kalyana Gurus?
Yeah, Kalyana Gurus. Yeah. I mean, it's called that when you put him in that format. Otherwise, the six opulence. Bhagavan means he has all six. So, Sankarshan is Bhagavan. He has all six. But in relation with Krishna, then, you know, or Vasudeva, then he's two qualities are specifically being brought out. Mm-hmm. But as we said, in Sambandha, Then all three phases are there. In Abhideya, all three phases. But the prominence is the Sambandha, the Abhideya, the Prayojana. The all three phases are there.
Yeah.
Because to do anything, I'm eating, but I still have to go sit down or wash my hands and, you know, adjust the table and my napkin and this and that and get ready to eat. Then I start eating. And once I've finished eating, I have to go wash my hands, clean up, things. Always three phases. You'll never get away from that. Because Krishna is Satchitananda. There's three. You're always going to have them. There's no question of not. That's the problem is, the kid just thinks he just comes and eats. Right? And doesn't do anything else. And so that's that. And when they mature, they see there's all three phases. You know what I'm saying? So maybe the husband's bringing in the money so that you can have the facility, the wife's cooking, you know, the kids are eating, enjoying, you know, so like that. So you have all the different things. But everyone's kind of got their place. When you say, no one's got anything, it's all equal, then, you know, there's a good chance you don't even have Khichdi.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Still someone has to cook it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody's equal, and then in their equalness, then nothing gets done. Therefore, you hire a maid. Fun, no?
Yeah.
Okay, the Lord, however, does not... Is that good?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or unauthentic worshipper to be exploited. Now, you can't exploit the Lord. He's the enjoyer. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. So, therefore, when Mother Yashoda or Nanda Baba or the gopis or the cowherd boys or anybody is controlling Krishna, they're not exploiting, they're doing it to please him. But if someone's trying to control Krishna to get what they want, then, you know, like Agasura, he's trying to control Krishna to get what he wants. So it's not going to work out so good.
Yeah, I'm thinking of materialists, especially scientists. If they are religious people themselves as a person, you say you can't exploit the Lord, they will actually agree to that. But because they separated the Lord from his energies, they say that's okay. Well, we're going to exploit the energy because it's disconnected. It's not his energy.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are so clever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like regular people, they don't think that far.
Yeah.
They think, yeah, that makes sense. And everybody just follows science.
Yeah.
Which is based on that, you know, what's that name Srila Prabhupada mentions? It's Apritak Bhava. No, means separate mentality. You separate things.
Oh, the separatist, yeah.
Yeah, separatist. Separatist. Yeah. So they say, yeah, if you don't want to exploit the world, leave him alone. You know, he's the greatest, he's the creator, he's the enjoyer, he's the maintainer. But the energy, nothing to do with it. Okay.
Yeah. He gave that to us.
Yeah. So this is like, oh, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's where the deifying comes.
He's transcendental.
But that doesn't, you know, but we'll manage it, we'll make it happen.
Yeah, and basically Abrahamic, that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's transcendental, but he's not, you know, imminent.
Yeah.
He's not here. Where is he?
Yeah.
I mean, and if he's here, we're going to blame it on him.
I guess.
Why is this happening to us?
Yeah. So that's the thing. To keep from blaming the Lord, they have to separate him from it.
Yeah.
Because it's a very good point. It's interesting because then we have the verse where, means it's only in the Talmud. I mean, so you have, it says, you have the verse where it says, it means there's two verses. One's positive, one's negative.
Yeah.
So then the one is that they're with the Lord and he's given them, you know, the grains and the fruits and all these different things for their themselves and things like that. And they're living with God and doing everything.
Yeah.
Then when they misbehave and they're going to be removed from the garden, and God tells them, now he gives them this, you know, like that. So it's basically, much of it's the same, but then he's given them the, you know, how you say, then you get all the, you know, the nasty stuff, like this. So then it gets into that. But that's it's theirs now because they think it's theirs. They act separately from the Lord. It's still the Lord's.
Yeah.
But they don't see it that way. They see it as theirs. So then, of course, they're going to do that way. So then, in that way, God is separate. But it's not that, it's not all managed by him and controlled. They just can't accept his authority in that aspect.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a, and then the false ego is so strong. And that means touching on these points may be very, you know, very besophorous.
Very controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Pritag Bhava. Apritag means together. Pritag means separate.
Pritag. Okay. Yeah, well, someone who is performing devotional service in the mode of ignorance or passion then has that Pritag Bhava. That's one of the outstanding, means one of the notable points of it. You know? And then goodness means you're following the rules because you're supposed to. Right. Does that make sense? You know, and then more advanced, you're doing because you want to. But at least you're, more goodness is you're doing because you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.25. Naham prakashas sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. Rather, by yoga maya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.11 purport. The form of Krishna killing Putana, used for persons with a particular desire for that form, which sometimes manifests temporarily in the sadhaka's heart, though originating as manator pasana mai. Manator? Or is it
mantra pasana?
It's just the spelling is.
Yes.
I was thinking, wow, it's Bhagavad. I was thinking, am I saying it wrong all this time? Like you have a minotaur, which is this big buffalo, so a monitor is when your mind gets out of hand, you know, and it's just running. Okay. Though originating as mantaropasana mayi, using mantras of verses, results in a swarasiki form since it goes beyond the form described in the mantra. Right. So swarasiki means the pastimes, because we have the mantra upasana, then you have a mantra or a verse or something that is describing the pastime. We saw the Brahma Samhita and the Gautamiya Tantra and things like that. It sets a scene, you know? And so then what's in that scene, then you can see and meditate on that and the moods and this and that, but it still it has that scene. Sarasiki means it's dynamic, it's moving, they're performing their activities.
Yeah.
You know.
So can we say that a Sarasiki is an expanded form of mantra mayupasana?
No, mantra mayupasana is a single frame of a movie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like the frame is moving.
Yeah.
You take one of them out that you can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very good meditation. Everybody could appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because you can say, "No, but I'm thinking of the pastime and all." But you're only thinking of exactly what the verse has said. You know, when you get to the end of the pastime, okay, now what? Krishna books describe it, or throw in a little bit more detail from Ananda Vrindavan Champu, or you know, wherever Brihad Bhagavatam Rita or something, you know, throwing something or commentary by the acharyas. Okay, and then when you get through all that, then it'll stop. No, or you may just, the point is, but you, since it's all eternal, you can meditate on one point and attain perfection. That's the meaning of the rishi. When it mentions the Vedic mantras, the rishi is the one who's meditated on that verse and became perfect.
Yeah.
So that's why you mentioned. So that mantra pasana mayi, then it will bring you to perfection. But once you come to perfection, then you come to the point of attachment to Krishna, then you can take part in the pastimes. You know, so if someone's saying, no, I'm doing this and it's doing that, that's just all mental speculation. Because the thing is, it centers around them, not Krishna.
Yeah.
It's all, I'm doing this. So in their view, it's all moving with them moving. It's not moving with how Krishna is moving. So therefore, as pointed out, unless you're on the Uttama platform, you can't use Swarasiki. It doesn't work. But up to that point, even up to the Uttama platform, the mantra pasana, that's what's then practiced. So one should, you're just pointing out where it goes to, that meditation. Therefore, I think, I'm not sure, this is maybe what before was a little bit of an indication, that when Uddhava is talking to the gopis, they may be remembering one incident or another incident. So in one sense you can say it's like mantra-pasana. But he's referring that there's actually the apricot. You can be absorbed in the swarasiki. And therefore you're taking part in the pastimes with him. Even though technically you're in the prakat, and in separation from Krishna, but by absorbing yourself in the apricot, because they have the qualification, right? They're on the platform of prema. Therefore, in this way, they can always be with Krishna. And in that way, Krishna never leaves. One means when you're talking about the prakat, because you're always absorbed there. He's always there.
Yeah.
We see he moves from, like you said, the doubt is, and so he started Mathura, went to Gokul, Gokul, Mathura, Mathura, the Dwarka, Dwarka, to Vaikuntha. So how is this working? But there is, they're all going on.
Yeah. We were just reading in Lava Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna promised the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan that I'll come after a short time, I'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that he doesn't keep his promise.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Uddhava went back to Braj after 3 months,
mm-hmm.
since Krishna left. So then Krishna, in his bath form, mm-hmm. went with him and then stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after killing Dandavakra, then he came in his external form.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was there and everybody felt like he was...
Yeah.
He was there. So he came back.
Because it would be the apricot. Is that what was when the acharyas, we were going through Bhagavatam in the 10th canto.
Yeah.
I think it was Vishwanatha, the other acharyas were pointing out that when Uddhava came, when he came into Vrindavan, he saw, the wonderful, the cows and everything beautiful and decorated and all that. He was actually walked into the apricot pastimes.
Yes. And then he saw prakat.
Yeah. Well, he saw there in the separation of the gopis, like that. But otherwise, when he went to Nandababa's house, it was also there in the prakat, but the house he was seeing was apricot.
Yeah.
Because everything was in order. Because the prakat means there were cobwebs in the stove. No one cooked. No one ate. So he didn't see that. He saw the form of the situation of the apricot. So he was talking to the devotees in the prakat. So that's why you have to be able to find them, but also they're non-different. So that's one of the finer points of applications of the Chintamaya Veda Tattva. Yeah. Okay, results in a swarisiki form, since it goes beyond the form prescribed in the mantra. If there's something outside of that, then it's not there. You could put together a string, that's why they'll give you a string of mantras, and then you can move from like the Astakali Lila. It's a string of mantras, but you're still moving from one mantra to the next. What's in between, that's only the swarisiki. That we don't have the qualifications for. How can we take part? We don't have that pure bhava for Krishna, that rati for Krishna. Right? But by this process, that will get us there. That's why that's why Krishna and the acharyas, Krishna's made the material world, he's come himself, he's given the scriptures, he comes to perform his pastimes, he sends the acharyas, they write their literatures, they preach, they all, just to get us so we can get to that platform.
Yeah.
So we can get to that. It's just a matter of appreciating that. Don't be unauthentic or casual. Try to be sincere and serious and know where you're at. Because if you're going up a set of stairs, if you think you're at the top and you're only on the second step, then it's not going to work. Or if you're halfway up and you think, oh, I can never get there and that, you'll sit down and not go anywhere. So you have to know you can get there and where you are. So I'm in the second, I move to the third to the fourth to the fifth, like that. So if you're taking a Shraddha to Prema, then, in 9 steps you're there. Prema in 9 easy steps.
Huh? This is a great name for anything. Seminar.
Yeah, oh no, that would be a great one. Prema Bhakti in 9 easy steps.
I'm thinking also that we given support by the parampara. First we've given the holy name, which includes everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's all inclusive, but you know, our ability to meditate is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've given the Gayatri mantras, which actually prepare. It's the same principle, but just in a nutshell.
Yeah, but it's also that technically you could say is the Gayatris, that would be the one of the things, is that the Gayatris technically are mantra-pasana. They show specific things.
Yeah.
Like Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan, you know, very specific by their definition. Or the Hare Krishna mantra, technically is Swarasiki.
Yeah.
You know, like that. But, so it's only by that, then you can take advantage of the mantra pasaka. Because without chanting Hare Krishna, there's no question that basically any of us can chant the Gayatris with any benefit. Not the giving a devotional benefit.
Yeah. And then, maybe I shouldn't say it. Oh, I say it when it's off.
Okay, yeah.
Then we come to Astakala Lila meditation.
Right.
So then, you know, Maha Mantra, then Gayatri as a preparation,
mm-hmm.
and then the Astakala is a natural meditation.
Yeah, but it's also, you can say, it's an expansion of the Gayatris.
Because
it's going to be Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan in these situations, because you're going to have, in each pastime, there's going to be the arrangement, the actual main activity, and then the result of that, and then its transition into the next.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be. So therefore, the Sambandhavide, Prayojana Sangati, everything's there, but then Swarasiki will be, you're actually in the pastime. You see the pastime. Like when Rupa Goswami is sitting there chanting, and then he sees that pastime of Radharani wants to pick some flowers, but you know, then she's shorter, so Krishna picks her up so she can, you know, and she grabs the branch and steady herself, and then picks the flowers, and that. But then he lets go. Then he brings it down, so she's hanging on the branch, you know. And then there's a whole, you know, scene going on with that. So he starts laughing at that. So he's seeing the Swarasiki pastimes. You know? And then, because he's laughing at that time, there's a devotee going by, you know, from that happens to have some physical deformity. And that devotee thinks Rupa Goswami is laughing at his deformity. So he's thinking, this doesn't match. You know, he's supposed to be the Acharya, and that, why would he? So he was feeling bad. So then, because he felt bad, the pastime disappeared. And Rupa Goswami was feeling bad. Why? What happened to the pastime? He can't. Like that. So he talks to Sanatan Goswami. He said, did you offend anybody? Or did you, you know, something, you know, because the offenses are going to block. That's what's going to block things. And so it means if there's anarthas or there's any offense, then that blocks the flow of devotion. That's why we're so careful about them, because they block the flow. And so, and devotees have that mood because they're just wanting to flow. You know, they're not, it's not, you know. And so then thinking about it in the discussion, then he says, was anybody there at the time? Like that. And he says, oh, well, this devotee. It says, then he explained, you know, that, and I was laughing and all that. And then it stopped, and I saw that devotee, and he was going by. And he didn't look, you know, he wasn't looking, you know, very jolly. You know, and so then Sanatana Goswami, because he's so smart, right? You know, he was thinking, well, you were laughing, and he was going by. He may have thought you were laughing at him, because he felt bad. Therefore, so then Rupa Goswami went and you know, went and apologized to him and all that, and you know, described what was happening and this and that.
I heard that Sanatana Goswami. They don't know who is that. I heard that Sanatana Goswami says to Rupa Goswami, invite all the devotees. The one who is offended will not come.
Oh, okay, that, okay, okay.
Then through that they know.
They don't know who he is, but he said is that, okay. So then he found who it is, and then like that. So then when he went, then he's describing what was happening actually, and that he wasn't laughing at him. And then when the other devotee forgave him, then they both were seeing the pastime.
It's like inviting friends from movie.
Yeah.
<It's true>.
Yeah. Just get your Mahabhashad Mangal sweets. Yeah. So these, yeah. Swarasiki pastimes are illustrated in Skanda Purana. Vatsar vatsa paribhis cha sada kridati madhavaha vrindavanan tara gatas saramo balakai saha. Krishna plays with the calves and older calves within Vrindavan, surrounded by Balaram and other boys. The word cha indicates Nanda and others. Rama, Balaram, indicates Rohini also. This is a pastime of going to Vraja in the evening. The word krida indicates play, which takes various forms in various places. It is not like mantra upasana mayi pastimes, which are limited to one place. Right? So he's saying they play in within Vrindavan and other boys, and he's saying it's all connected. And so that playing with the boys and coming back in the evening, you know, then they're going, and then what they're doing, and then who's there, and then Rohini's seeing, and that, and they're waiting, and Nanda Baba's waiting, and it's dynamic. Because it's not saying a particular situation and describing the full details of that situation.
Yeah.
So you see is that they're going to, in when the acharyas are talking, means now that we're, you know, this is, you know, becoming more clear, is there's verses where it's mantra upasana. But so much of the verse what do you call it?
Swarasiki. Yeah.
Yeah. So when they're just saying they're giving it generic, it's actually swarasiki because it's changing. It's always.
Yeah.
So we'll get certain things. So there's always going to be something that describes how Krishna looks, how he stands, who he's with, you know, what's kind of the mood, you know, what's around, who else is there, and those are going to be your mantra upasana.
Yeah.
But when it just says he takes the cows back in the evening and you know, and the boys are laughing and joking and all that, that'll be swarasiki.
So we have to feel in the details ourselves. I mean, you have to know what's going on.
Yeah, so the point is that since we don't feel in the details, we don't make it up, we therefore contemplate the swarasiki aspect from the angle of mantra upasana. Because that's all the more of our realization.
Yeah.
But swarasiki, they actually see the pastimes.
So can we take as an example Chintamani Prakarasandhma Sukalpa Vriksha, that verse?
Yeah, those will be, I mean, how you say, which is the ones that it says, because it was two out of three, which are the ones that are mentioned?
That's mentioned next verse is Chintamani Prakarasandhma.
Yeah, okay, because it was the second two, the second and third were mentioned. So those would be mantra upasana.
Yeah.
Well, the first one is swarasiki.
Oh, okay.
Right? Is that what you said?
No, this verse is given as an example. Just
yeah, as an example. Chintamani.
Yeah.
Because it's more general.
Yeah.
But then the others, he's standing there in a threefold benifold with his flute and this yeah. and that. That'll be mantra upasana.
Right.
But the point is, for it's not that, oh, it's less advanced, it's just one feature out of the swarasiki. So for us, we can connect to it because we can relate, but for those who are on the level of swarasiki, it's just one of the features within the swarasiki. So there's no problem, and because of the mantra upasana, we'll project that onto the swarasiki aspects. You know, it says he plays in Vrindavan. We'll think of all the verses, the mantra upasana, and say, yeah, he does this, he does this, he does this. So we'll fill in with mantra upasana.
Yeah.
And they'll see that, and then it'll be swarasiki. So it's just one of the views or one of the visions within swarasiki. So the two have no problem.
Yeah.
So in the same way, prakat and apakat have no problem. You know what I said?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Other examples are as follows. Chintamani prakarasadma shukalpa vriksha lakshavriteshu surabhir abhivalayantam lakshmi sahasra sata sambrahma sevimanam govindamari purusham tabham vajami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who affectionately tends the cows and stables, whose walls are made of Chintamani, surrounded by desire trees. He is eagerly served by countless gopis. Brahma Samhita 5.29. Because it's giving a general. He's there, he's serving the cows, the Lakshmis are there. You know, all this is kind of going on. You know, it doesn't mean that there can't be some detail, but it's not specifically talking about a specific pastime. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can see is that the two can blend together very easily.
Yeah. Mantra Maya Vasani sounds like a slide.
Yes.
From a movie.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Taken and shown.
Yeah. And you take out that one, that will be the best for meditation. Because the other is moving, you're meditating on that. But if you want to take just the one, you know, it's just like the person's doing so many things. But then it's, you know, the photographer then, you know, says, look over here. And so then they cut a profile. That's something people will remember. But all of it together is what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know. That's what I think, how you call it, these people are a bit more, you know, used to being in the public eye. They can, you know, at a moment, any moment, they can just, you know, have the look or have a smile or have, you know, something that's more appropriate for the situation. You know, and then go back to whatever they're doing. Yeah, but for Krishna, it's just one thing in it. You know, everything's perfect. Here, it's just the photo is perfect, but, you know. Yeah, you don't have to, in other words, you don't have to Photoshop the mantra pasana, i.e., like that. But here, you take the picture and you have to photo. One, you take, you know, 20 pictures, you have to pick one and then Photoshop. Right? Then it goes on the cover of the magazine. No?
Yeah.
Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Taravo Durma Bhumis Chintamani Ganamai Poyam Amritam Kataganam Natyam Gamanamapi Bamsi Priyashaki Chirānandam jyotif paramapi tad api tad ashvad yamapicha. I worship this Goloka, where there are unlimited gopis and their beloved Krishna, the supreme form of God, where the trees and land fulfill all desires, where the water is as sweet as nectar, where the pleasing is singing and the walking is dancing, where the flute is the best friend by announcing the joyful presence of Krishna everywhere, where the sun and moon shine with knowledge and bliss eternally in perfect form, revealing all things, and where all relishable things are also knowledge and bliss. Brahma Samhita 5.56. Okay. Udriti, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That region which jivas attain by the best performance of their rasa bhajana, though purely transcendental, is by no means devoid of variegatedness. The non-differentiated region is attained by indulging in anger, fear, and delusion. The devotees attain Goloka, the transcendental region above Vaikuntha, according to the quality of rasa of their respective services. In reality, that region is no other than Sweta Dweep or the White Island, being exceedingly pure. Those who attain the highest rasa in the shape of the realization of pure devotion in this world, viewing the reality of Sweta Dweep in Gokula, Vrindavan, and Navadweep within the mundane world, designate the same as Goloka. In that transcendental region of Goloka, there are always visible in their supreme beauty. Is this the end? Is this a comma, or is it supposed to be end of the sentence?
Sometimes they put the full stop like that one. I think it's in the old English.
I think it's supposed to be a comma. Unless they just didn't put a call. In that transcendental region of Goloka, there are always visible in their supreme beauty. No, it has to be a comma. It's not complete. All the distinctive entities that are incorporated in the pure cognitive principle, namely, lover and his beloved ones, trees, creepers, mountains, rivers, and forests, water, speech, movement, music of the flute, the sun, the moon, tasted and taste, i.e., the unthinkable wonders of the 64 aesthetic arts. Okay, that's interesting. Milk cows yielding nectarine flow of milk in transcendental ever-existing time. Descriptions that supply the clue to Goloka are found in various places in the Vedas and the other Shastras, such as the Puranas, Tantras, etc. The Chandogya says, Bruyad yavan va ayam akashas tavan esha antar hrida akashaha ubhe asmin dvava pritivi antar eva samahite udhav agnischa vayuscha surya chandra masav ubhav vidyun nakshatrani yach chas ye hasti yach cha nasti sarvatad asmin samahitam iti. Where that samhite, period, you can put in one of those slashes, those diagonal, mm-hmm. like that, because that just means that's where the verse is broken. The sum and substance of it is that all the variegatedness of this mundane world and much more variety over and above the mundane are to be found in Goloka. The variety in the transcendental world is fully centralized, whereas the mundane world is not so, and hence productive of weal and woe. Right? It's fully centralized means it's all around Krishna. So you see, is this tendency towards centralization? They want to make it about themselves, but they control it. You know, does that make sense? So the thing is it's already centralized. It's centralized around Krishna. He's the central feature. Therefore, then, and it's how each individual is connected with him and how those individuals work together in groups. So the individuality remains because the central is Krishna. But in the modern centralization, then individuality is lost. Should put that in the paper. So,
yeah.
And we can quote from here.
With Sanskrit.
Yeah. The centralized variety of Goloka is unalloyed and full of transcendental cognitive joy. The Vedas and sadhus practicing devotion revealed by the Vedas, by availing the support of their individual cognitional aptitude, actuated by devotion, may have a sight of divine realm. And by the power of the grace of Krishna, their tiny cognitive faculty, attaining the quality of infinitude, they are established to be on the level of the plane of enjoyments of Krishna. Yeah. So, the tiny cognitive faculty attaining the quality of infinitude, because it's centered around Krishna. Krishna is the center, so in that way they attain the infinite position. But the point is they remain an individual. Krishna's an individual. They're on the plane. Right? It means the platform. Like, means the dham and that. So it's unlimited. The pastimes are unlimited. Krishna's unlimited. And you have that your cognition comes in line with Krishna, because Krishna's the center. Therefore, you touch the unlimited. So in this... So people are always looking for that. Whenever they feel that, they've done something correct. They've had the right attitude and the right situation, the right action, or the right, you know, goal like this. They feel that for a moment, but it's only on the material platform, because they take it that the thing that they're observing is the cause of that feeling of infinity. But it's actually Krishna. Just you follow Krishna's rules, it connects you. That's the taste that people go for. You know, and they have that moment, and they spend basically their whole life trying to catch another one of those moments.
So that moment, can we say they're just momentarily connected to the sought feature of the world?
Yes. You know, it's just like your typical example. Let's say you go out into you're out in some natural environment and you just walk out and you come into the paint where you can fully see and it affects you, like, you know, how big or how nice or beautiful or whatever it is, there's that moment where you appreciate and you see the sad aspect, the existence. It's Brahman. Because Brahman is what makes, it means all, this is all Brahman that is here. That the bodies of this, that, everything that's here is all Brahman. So in the spiritual platform, that's what Brahman is. Here we have a negative idea, so we take it as the impersonal and not that. But actually, no, it's what Prabhupada says. Brahman is the basis of the material creation. That means all this is Brahman. You know, the qualities of it are manifested here, but then because they're temporary, then it's here and then it goes. So that way you say it's temporary, it's not real. But actually it's Brahman, it's real. You know, so they get that moment of sat. And so then they, you know, then that's the guy. The guy's got to go out and be in nature and go hiking and don't do the things. And, you know, and so now and again he gets another of those moments. Most of the time they're all busy about this and what they're wearing and what they're doing. If it's too hot or too cold, and, you know, should I eat their snack now or wait until he gets up to the ridge or this and that? Or, you know, when's the adrenaline going to check in? And, you know, what, how is everybody else doing? You know? And now and again they get one of those moments.
Yeah, because when I was reading the mundane literature, those moments are actually described as ananda, but yes. It's not.
No.
According to our philosophy, it's just connection to the chit aspect of the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, of course, chit has sachit and ananda, but the connection itself, it's not in ananda.
Because it's not dynamic. It's just you're appreciating.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's that the shanta aspect, that you're appreciating something, because that's what's there, you appreciate. So that's why people who don't appreciate others, they're never happy. Absolutely not. People who can't appreciate anyone else, there's never a time when they're happy. They can't be. It's impossible. Because the basis is appreciation.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the thing. It's that feature of the Lord, that appreciation, Shantaras is based on that. Then when it becomes dynamic, then you have the next thing. Like that.
Because devotees also speculate and think, oh, I came to the Dham and then I had this experience. And of course it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
But it's not what they think it is. So
even if it is, it's only a drop of what they think it is. So therefore, what is there if you're always in that ocean of nectar? You know, means that's why the, you know, that point's made about the devotees, the great devotees, they're like sharks in the ocean. They're not floating on the top. They're diving deep into the ocean. You know, I'm sure that these sharks means makaras.
Yeah, yeah. It's mentioned in the verse,
yeah. So it's not just, you know, in some way, you know, great white or something.
White shark.
Yeah, no, it's makaras, you know, because in other words, makaras would eat great whites for a snack, you know.
And it's marvelous that the oceans are generally like 14,000 feet deep.
Hmm.
And any diver is cautioned not to go beyond 130 feet.
Hmm.
It's hundreds of times much more than
what
they can dive into.
So that's the thing, is that they actually are qualified. They can dive deep into this ocean and stay down there. They never deal with the waves on the top. So on the top, all those little waves, those are the external things. But the taste is the ocean. The ocean, the taste is through things. But it's not about the thing, it's about the taste. So that's why that taranga rangini, you get enamored by the waves on the top. It's coming from devotion. You actually get facility and everything from devotion, but you get distracted by the waves rather than the...
Also, it said that there are many, many beautiful caves on the bottom of the ocean and much, much bigger than what you can think of. It's basically it's much more beautiful there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, also you go down there, even Varuna's down there, and he's doing his thing. It's all happening. Yeah, yeah. No, it's so much more.
So there's much more variegatedness in the spiritual.
There's a hidden meaning of the proposition, quote, even the supreme that is also nevertheless the object of enjoyment, end quote. Param api tad ashvad yam api cha. Oh, I see. When you say it according to the meter, you can say it, and you just don't. That's why I couldn't say it before.
Yeah.
It was like as if I'd never read it before. But then this one, because I knew what it was, I just said it according to the meter, and then it worked. The word Paramapi indicates that Sri Krishna is the only truth absolute in all the transcendental blissful principles. And tad ashvadyam api means his object of enjoyment. The glory of Radha's love for Krishna, tasty quality, rasa of Krishna that is realized by rasa, and the bliss of which rasa is Radha is conscious in the process of such realization. All these threefold bhavas, emotional entities, becoming available for enjoyment by Krishna, he attains his personality of Sri Gaurasundara. Okay, the glory of Radha's love for Krishna, the tasty quality or rasa of Krishna that is realized by rasa, Radha, and the bliss of which Radha is conscious in the process of such realization. Right? So therefore you have the sambandha abhideya and prayojana within prayojana.
Yeah.
It means the glory of the love, you know, then the taste that is there, and then the bliss.
Is it from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati?
Yes, this is his purport. This is his purport to must be to the to that.
To that verse.
Yeah, 556.
Yeah.
Oh yes, that's at the bottom. It is also. It is also this that constitutes the transcendental bliss of the delicious loving rasa, service, manifested by Sri Gaurasundara. This also eternally exists only in the self-same Svetadvi, Brahma Samhita 556 purport. So you can see is what's all in there, that's the Swarasiki. So we can even take the Swarasiki points and just take them as, okay, Krishna's there, cow's there, but still we'll always see it in mantra pasana.
Yeah.
You know, even though it may be a Swarasiki verse, we'll still see it from that angle of mantra-pasana. So if it doesn't give much detail, we'll put that into one that does. Does that make sense? So in that way we expand how we're able to appreciate. But the point is it's revealed. So as Krishna makes these available, then as you become absorbed, so you're just focused only on Krishna, then these things can be revealed more and more. But as we're not, we're distracted by other things, then, you know, at least that much keeps us that we know where we're going, what we're trying to do. You know, and then what we're distracted by, we try to use that in Krishna service, engage in Krishna service.
Yeah. Now Brahma Samhita makes much more sense, because now we understand that the Brahma, in those category of the verses, he starts with Chintamani, hence was the same. It's a basically more detailed explanation of that first verse, and in between, it's some of it is just description of the hierarchy, and you know, Panchopasana, and so many things are there.
Right,
some
right.
verses describing Krishna, but also from a viewpoint of mantra mayupasana.
Mm-hmm.
But then the whole structure. It's very wholesome match.
Yes, yes. Well, because also the first 28 then are establishing, you know, the Dom, the realms, and everything like that. And so in doing that, then, but it's in general. And so it's not that each verse is shown in connection with Krishna. So now all those situations in the when he gets to the Govindam aspect of the chapter, then there. then it's going to be showing all those aspects in context of Krishna. Because you have all the places and all that, then you're going to all the realms, then you're going to have how do these realms connect to Krishna? On the individuals and the activities and
yeah.
You know, so then you see it very very nicely. So it means you show the mechanics and then you show how it connects to Krishna. So then also that pancharatric aspect of you have the Samanavide and Prayojana, and then you show it in context of Vasudeva.
It's like you explained in the beginning of the class, it's like compressed Bhagavatam in 62 shlokas, because it gives, you know, sarga, visarga, sthana, poshanam, you know, the whole 10 topics of the Bhagavatam are there in the Brahma Samhita in a very compressed way.
The Swarasiki pastimes, like the Ganga, take the form of a flow of various pastimes. Mantra-opasana mayi pastimes, where each mantra describes a single pastime, are like attaining a string of lakes which arise in the river. So here they're giving it where they don't have to use the, you know, the 24 frames of a film. Means the river's flowing. But when the river goes, now and again there's lakes.
Yeah.
So those lakes, that's where the mantra asana mayi is. But it's actually flowing, the whole thing. You know, so from one to the next and all this, but it's like the lakes.
Lakes are generally still.
Yeah, they'll be still. Yeah, true, they're still.
Like Kaliya Lake.
Yeah. We see here, you would have, I don't know if it's still there, but you would have where the, if you go down to the Ganga here, and, you know, because this way it's going down river, it's straight there, but it bends up that way.
Yeah.
You know, it goes west, and then it'll get to a point where it'll turn towards the north. Right? You know, just not far up, you can walk up.
Yeah.
It'll turn. But the Ganga keeps going back. That doesn't move.
Yeah.
So that would be like that. That would be like what you call a lake.
Yeah. It's not there all the time, but, you know.
Yeah. I think it used to be more, but now I think it's around here is cut through more and...
The bed changed.
Yeah. But like that, it'll get... Yes, so that's what the Hrada is, no? Hrada means a lake.
Hrada?
Kaliya Hrada?
Yeah, Brahma Hrada. I'm not sure what Hrada means.
Hmm? No. In mantra-opasana mayi pastimes, one realizes things related to Krishna. In Swarasiki pastimes, however, much more is seen. So you're seeing it how it centralizes on Krishna. But then, and he says that Swarasiki more is seen. Just how they interact, how they do, that kind of aspect.
Yeah.
Seeing how somebody's doing something to please Krishna and like that. Nothing is lacking in those pastimes. This is all seen in Bhagavatam. The prakata form of the Lord is clear in Bhagavatam, where it describes his pastimes. Right? So the prakata means the prakata pastimes. Those are very clear. And then, you know, it centralizes very nicely on him. Because the others are by prema, they're centralized on him. But it's not just the fo- you can see other things going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because of that, it's that's like let's say, is that clear?
Yeah.
But it means the you're seeing exactly Krishna and how he's standing and who's around him and everything like that. But then there's also the interaction between those devotees and who's doing what. Someone's going to bring this or get that or. Those things, those will be in the Swarasiki. That's what it means. The Swarasiki, much more is seen. Nothing is lacking in those pastimes. It means the mantra opasana is about Krishna and centered on Krishna. It's perfect. But it's just Swarasiki will be more perfect. It'll be most perfect.
It actually makes sense, because technically to concentrate on one object in the beginning is much easier than see the broader picture.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if that picture is dynamic.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you have to. I think you have to be like, you have to have a spiritual mind.
Otherwise, it's not that, because it's just you're so practiced. Like the yogi, he meditates on one point.
Yeah.
And so therefore, that's why he meditates on Paramatma, not on Bhagavan. But even here, for the devotee, they start higher. They're the best yogis, because even their mantra-pasana is on Bhagavan, but it's still a fixed scenario.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and if you say, no, but I can see there's a little bit of movement, but that's like in the modern phones, the live photo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you take the photo and the person just, that's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't go more than that.
Yeah,
you say, and then Krishna went into Kali's mouth, into Agasura's mouth. So you're just seeing that. Did you see him walking up to there? Did you see once he inside how he walked down? No. We'll just see that, because it said he walked, so we'll just see that little bit of movement.
Yeah.
So still, mantra pasanamayi.
At best.
Good try, though. Good try. Good try. No, Swazi. No. In other words, if it was Swarovski, you wouldn't be arguing the point. You would be just, I don't see. I'm so unfortunate. Right?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.